From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, the day that we have been talking about pretty much all year is upon us. It is Election Day, and many of you are heading out to the polls, while millions of others have already turned in their ballot, and a record number of Californians have registered to vote. More than 22 million, which is a half million more registered voters than the last presidential election. Of course, we have other crucial races and contests aside from the presidential. From Sacramento mayor to city council, congressional seats, state lawmakers, 10 propositions, local measures, as well as other down ballot races such as school boards. Cap Radio, we got you covered. We will have live election coverage throughout the evening once polls close. Starting us off today is Secretary of State Shirley Weber to walk us through how her office oversees elections across California, as well as answering some of the most common questions that they're receiving from voters. Well, Secretary Weber, thank you for making the time. It's like your Super Bowl.
I feel like it. It's almost there. Yeah.
All right. Well, your role of the Secretary of State's office, I know you know of it all too well. You walk in this daily. But for those who don't, can you just explain the role that your office does and how you work with county election officials on Election Day?
Sure. Well, elections is one of the four or five areas that the Secretary of State's office handles, but it's probably the one thing that Californians know about because every Californian is faced with the issue of elections, being able to register to vote and to vote. And so what we do, we work with the 58 counties. We don't necessarily run the election in terms of actually setting up the polling places, looking at the very small offices that people run for, the school boards, the water boards, all those kinds of things. We assist them in that, and we interpret the law, make sure that they adhere to the rules and regulations of the state of California and the federal law with regards to who votes, how they vote, what kind of environment is included in voting, and making sure that they set it up and that they get the support that they need from us to make sure that they're following the laws, the rules and regulations that adhere to it. So we work with the 58 counties that have their own registrar of voters. We work with them. We work with their board of supervisors sometimes who are involved with the registrar of voters. But we basically are the connecting link between all of those 58 counties and producing the results that California needs to produce for all of the elections that occur. And there are many, many elections that happen in California.
Yeah, I mean, and you have been working in the days and weeks leading up to this big day on November 5th. Your office is also reporting a record number of voter registrations. More than 22 million Californians have registered to vote, which is roughly 84% of the eligible voters in the state. Do you have an idea or a projection of what turnout could look like for this election?
We really don't have a projection of turnout. We expect it to be a good turnout because we see the absentee ballots that are coming in, the mail-in ballots that are being returned. And I know as of Saturday morning, there was over 7 million of them returned to us. But we expect a great turnout from that. And then obviously those who show up at the polls and those who actually want to vote in person are those who will take their ballots themselves to the polling places. I have lots of friends who like to go see their poll ladies, as they call them. And as my daughter, she loves to have her kids watch her vote. So she likes to take them to the polling places so they get the history of voting, even though she's already filled out her ballot. So we will see a great turnout. We hope that people are enthused about it. There are lots of things down the ballot. It's not just the presidential election. We've got senators. We've got assembly members. We've got state senators. We've got mayors. Sacramento here has a mayor's race that's really hot and heated and engaged. And so we hope that people will vote down the ballot. Every office that's there, that they will have some idea of who they want to vote for and many of the propositions that are on the ballot as well. So it's a large election that's taking place, and hopefully people will participate in all of it.
So 7 million as of, and that doesn't even include people who voted over the weekend, correct? So that's roughly a third of people have showed up and they actually have turned in their ballot. There's also millions of people who have yet to do so, and there can be a good amount of confusion out there. What are some of the most common questions your office has been receiving from voters, and how are you answering them?
Well, you know, I just came upstairs. I'm here in Sacramento. I just came upstairs from my hotline. And we're getting thousands of calls a day concerning the election. Most of the answers are on our website, but people like to talk to people and find out what's really going on. So I was in a room filled with folks who are doing help, and they're excited about it, and they're just answering the calls that are coming in, making sure that we give them the information. People want to know sometimes where the polling place is. They don't know where that is. And that's listed on our website. If you go on and put in your zip code, it'll tell you exactly where your various polling places are that surround you. It'll tell you where the ballot boxes are. If you want to go do a ballot box, we get that information that's there. We have people who have concerns about what happens if I don't want to vote everything on the ballot. And we often get that. They think that their ballot is not valid unless everything is checked. And it's not. You have to make sure that you check what you want. But if you don't want to vote for every candidate or every office that's there, whatever you turn in will be your ballot. We want to make sure that people know they need to sign their ballot. They want to make sure that they sign it and they date it if they're turning in a ballot and putting it in the ballot box. Some want to know, how do I know you really got my stuff? You know, and we tell them about this thing called Where's My Ballot? And it's an app that we have that allows you to register online. You go on our website and you can register on Where's My Ballot, and it will tell you where your ballot is. I voted last week, and in 2 days, I got a statement saying Shirley Weber says thank you because your ballot has been opened and counted. And so, which says my ballot is already in the number of the 7 million or more that's there. So you can do that. So if you have some anxiety about, is your ballot really going to follow you? Are they going to get the information? Yes. Where's My Ballot app will give you all that information. And people are usually excited about seeing that information because then they know that their ballot is moving through the process.
For those voting in person on election day, can you remind us of some of the rules as they're waiting in line to vote? I know as long as you're in line when polls close,
yes,
you get to vote. But what if you're in line and maybe you're wearing a button or a T-shirt depicting a candidate, talking politics in line? What are the rules about all of that?
You're asked not to have these conversations of politics in line. It can be intimidating to some people. You're asked not to wear signs like, whoever you're voting for, whatever party you're part of. You can't wear those signs. You can't wear the hats. We've seen people who've gotten in trouble because they had on certain hats and they're asked to take it off. Or I've seen folks who've been asked to go in the bathroom and turn your T-shirt inside out because you can't actually publicize. You can't campaign near the poll. You can't be within a certain number of feet to the polls campaigning with signs for candidates or any of those things. So you should go into the polling place with your material that you have that you want, but make sure that you don't have any signs or symbols that basically might indicate who you're voting for or intimidate others who are in the room with you. So no, you can't come in with that. And if you're in line, if you're voting on Tuesday evening and the polls close at 8, and you get in line at 7:59, you can still vote. Because when 8 o'clock comes, all the people who are standing in line at 8 o'clock will be allowed to vote. And so they will not close the polls until every person has had an opportunity to vote.
There is provisional voting. So what if someone is eligible to vote? They're one of the ones who did not register, but they want to participate. Can they still participate in this election?
We have same-day registration. You can go into a polling place and at a center, and you can actually register to vote on the day of the election. And what happens is that you're then given a provisional ballot, which says that we're not sure if this person is qualified to vote yet, but you put in a certain pot. And then what happens is after election is over, then we go through that and one and verify that you are eligible to vote, that you had proper ID and so forth and so on to register to vote. But we also make sure that you haven't voted already. So you're not going from place to place, filling out a new application so you can vote. So we have to verify that you have not voted before because to do that would be a crime. So you've not voted before that you qualify to vote. And if that's all that turns out to be correct, then your ballot will be counted. But at the beginning, it's provisional. The same is true if for some reason you lost your ballot or some reason that they can't find your name in the system, but you're supposed to be registered to vote. You can become a provisional voter. We're not going to turn you away and say, no, you can't vote. We don't know where your name is because maybe you changed your address or whatever it is. You will be given a provisional ballot also so that you will still have a chance to vote. We don't want anyone to not vote on a technicality. In other words, but you have to follow the rules. You have to be registered by the day of the election and so forth and so on. But if for some reason you fail to sign something or do something that you should have done, you can still vote provisionally. And when we get ballots in that people haven't signed their signatures and they haven't dated it, we try to find them. We actually try to find them and track them down. We go, we send a card to them. We'll call their home. We'll do those things we can to say, listen, you forgot to sign the ballot. You forgot to date the ballot. You know, we need you to come in and make this right so that your ballot can be counted. And we do that to every person that has submitted a ballot and something is wrong with it, to give them an opportunity to make that correction.
When it comes to mailing in a ballot, it just has to be postmarked by Election Day, by November 5th, correct?
Yes, it has to be postmarked by November 5th. If you're mailing it, and the Postal Service should postmark it by that date, and then you'll have 7 days for it to get to us, because we know the post office is sometimes slow. And so we will, but we will still count it when it comes in if it has a postmark on it that was postmarked the day of the election. Mm.
You also touched upon, you know, just previously about how your office ensures that those who are voting are eligible to vote. And I bring that up because former President Trump has warned about undocumented immigrants voting illegally. So can you just remind our listeners of the rules that are in place around citizenship status and voting in California? And really walk us through what happens if someone who isn't a citizen tries to vote. How would that vote be identified and removed?
Sure. First of all, to vote in California and to vote in this nation, period, you have to be a citizen and a resident of California. So only citizens can vote. No undocumented persons, no person who's not a citizen of California can register, of the United States, can actually register to vote. When you register to vote, you have to have some form of ID. If you don't have the ID at the time of registration, before you vote, before you come into the final vote, to actually go into the polls, you have to have that ID with you in order to verify that, yes, you are who you are and that you can vote. If for some reason someone, and we have had not had any incidents such as this, if for some reason that someone decides they want to vote anyway, keep in mind that's a federal offense. Intentionally deciding to vote when you're not qualified to vote is a federal offense, punishable by law, and you could be incarcerated in a federal prison as a result of trying to vote. So voting illegally is a serious matter. It's not something that you just say, oh, well, I tried and I failed. No, if you intentionally try to vote more than once, or you try to vote and you're not supposed to vote, you're not qualified to vote, you will be prosecuted by the federal government in terms of your right to vote, and you will basically be a sentence as a result of that. So it's a serious offense to try to vote and not be eligible to vote. So we do that. We check with everyone, all of the IDs that come in. If anyone says that there's someone who voted was not, we will check that out as well. We've got to make sure that all of those things are done correctly, and we do the investigation. And oftentimes we find that people may have thought they weren't, because they looked at someone and thought maybe they're not a citizen, and yet they don't know the status of the individual that's there. Every person who decides to register to vote signs a declaration that they are a U.S. citizen, and that is punishable. Lying on those documents is punishable as well as a federal offense. So you sign a statement saying that you guarantee that you are a citizen of the United States and you're eligible to vote.
Given that this has been a tense and heated election, for those who are concerned about safety and going to polling centers, you know, what is your level of concern about the potential of something going wrong, potentially political violence? And are there certain areas of the state that are of heightened concern to you?
We are always concerned, and we take every threat seriously. And when we have folks who monitor our polls. We have those who are employed by us, as well as volunteers who are trained to monitor the polls. We have given information to all of the levels of law enforcement, the police, the CHPs, the federal, the FBI. Everyone gets this. We train them all to help them understand what people's voting rights are and what things can happen if they don't adhere to the rules and regulations that's there. So we do all those things to make sure that people are safe. We make sure that the facility where they're voting is safe. We have persons assigned to different places that we think may have some difficulty. If people come in and start causing ruckus, we have trained our folks on how to de-escalate situations. And we have they have access to all of the numbers of law enforcement to basically contact us and let us know that something is happening at their place. Some will have monitors who will be going in and out of the places to make sure that they're safe. We've had people who've said they're going to do things, and sometimes they come in very rambunctious and want to cause ruckus, and we basically let them know that they can't. We let them know we're notified individuals, and we monitor those places to make sure that folks are safe. So It is, it, these are tense times. I've been involved with elections my whole life. My mother was a poll worker when I was a kid, and our house was a polling place. And we never thought that that would be a dangerous place to be. It was a place that people came who felt good that they could come and peacefully make their wishes known, vote their conscience, put their ballot in the box, and go away happy. No one ever came afraid that something was going to happen at my mother's house around elections. And it's unfortunate that we have people who are stoking those issues now. But we are prepared, and we hope that everyone has a safe experience in terms of voting.
If someone is skeptical about the election process and the results, they can actually go in person and they could actually watch it happen. So how does that work if someone actually wants to go see it with their own eyes?
We have what we call observers. We have some that are watching to make sure everything is going well, but we have people who want to observe. And I've been to several of the registrar of voter offices, and they've shown me the corridors that people are allowed to walk down. They can see the machines where the ballots are taken and opened. They can see that. They can see folks basically verifying signatures. They don't get a chance to go in, and they don't get a chance to start handling things themselves. And that upsets some people because they want to be in it. And they can't do that because people have their right and their privacy to voting. But they can come and be a part of that process. Call your registrar of voter. Let them know you want to go to a vote center. Some will just show up, and that's fine if there's room for them to come in. But most of our vote centers have places for people can observe. And at a distance, and they can see it. We even have some places that have cameras or computers above, so people can actually see closer how they're ripping things off. They can't see the actual name, but they can see the process that's there and see how it goes from one person to the next to the next. So we give them an opportunity to see what's going on in the voting situation and the opening and the counting of ballots. And so we've had observers already in many of our voting centers right now, and some have been. At some centers have folks every day who show up who want to observe, and that's their right to do so. We ask that you do it peacefully without trying to interfere with the process and trying to get involved with those who are doing the work and stop them from working, and that you can't do the work yourself. You can't come in because all those folks who are doing this work have been sworn in, have been trained, and it's not just something that volunteers just decide to do.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Secretary of State Shirley Weber about, you guessed it, Election Day. Okay, so it all happens on Election Day. It's been happening, obviously, with early voting leading up to this day. It does not end on Election Day, of course. There's a lot of work that's going to happen in the days and weeks ahead. So once polls close, the focus is going to be on who wins, but we may not know that for many races and contests on election night, it could take days or weeks. So when should we expect results to start coming in? How long could it possibly take, and why?
You know, many of the folks will see results coming in early, as soon as the polls close. Numbers will start showing in different precincts and different areas that's there. And that'll let you know that's probably 1% or 10% of all the votes that are due in, and it still have a long way to go. So we still have to close everything out. We have to make sure all the polls are closed, and those kinds of things. But you could actually begin to see some results, and people will all immediately start making some projections because, if you're looking at how many votes people have and the difference between the top two vote getters, and you discover that there's not enough votes left to count to make up that spot, you'll have the newspapers basically letting you know that, and TV letting you know that they have predicted this person to be the winner. We don't do predictions. We give information and accurate information. So when all the votes have been counted and all the things are in, we have to 30 days, and then we will actually let you know who won the election in California.
Which ballots get counted first?
Well, the absentees are being opened now, obviously, those ballots that are coming in. So when you look and see, when you look that the polls have closed at 8 o'clock and you see some numbers that come in, those numbers are generally absentee ballots because they've already been opened and verified. The others are probably still sitting at the voting center trying to close out and get everything packed up and get it over to where they need to take it to be counted.
Finally, prior to becoming Secretary of State in 2020, I mean, you touched upon this as well. You were a state lawmaker. You have long worked to restore voting rights. You mentioned your home, your childhood home was a polling place. How has the climate of voting and elections changed, not only in your time overseeing elections in California, but also throughout your life?
Well, you know, the one thing, obviously, it's become much more mechanical in terms of the machines. And in those days, it was one day. It was one day, and that was it. And if you missed it, you missed the deadline. You didn't get in. You just didn't get a chance to vote. Very few people had absentee ballots in those days. So those were really restricted environments. Also, in those days, if you have committed a felony, in many states, you could not vote, and you could not vote if you were on parole or probation in California. So there were restrictions on folks who had committed crimes. We have removed all of those restrictions. So people who are ex-felons or who are on parole or probation, you can vote in California. Even if you're in jail, you can vote in California. Most people don't know that. But you cannot vote if you're convicted of a felony and sitting in a state or federal prison. You can't vote then, but as soon as you finish your time and as soon as you're released from prison, you are automatically able to vote. You're re-enfranchised and you can vote without permission from anyone else by simply registering. So it's changed a lot. We've also pre-registered high school students. So we're going to have a large number of students this year who start pre-registering them 2 years ago when they were 16 and 17 years old. And now this is their first time to vote and they're excited about being able to vote. So we've had a strong outreach to our college students, our high school students. I was at the university for 40 years as a professor. And the interesting thing was we would try to get students to register to vote and we'd find places that they could go register to vote. Now they register online when they register for classes. So every university in California has registration online at the University of California, UC, community colleges, private institutions. And that in itself has opened up the opportunity for many college students who felt they had to go back home to register to vote, that they didn't have access, that they were so busy trying to get to college, they didn't think about the fact that they were turning 18 and could vote.
Secretary Weaver, as always, thank you for making the time.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope everyone goes out and votes. And if you have any question, I didn't answer your question, don't hesitate to contact 800-345-VOTE. That's our voter hotline, 800-345-VOTE, and you will get the information and the answers that you need, and they're waiting for you to call.
That is Secretary of State Shirley Weber walking us through how her office oversees elections across California, as well as answering the most common questions that they're receiving from voters. Up next, political data's Paul Mitchell shares a look at early voting and turnout. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.